Craig Kopp, incoming editor at Aspen Public Radio, thank you for taking a little time away from packing up boxes at your home in Florida to speak with me today.
Oh, taking a break from packing boxes. No great strain. Trust me. I take a lot of them.
So, Craig, you've had a long career in broadcasting and media. Let's talk about your background in public radio specifically.
All righty.
Where are you coming
from? Where am I coming from? Well, I was in commercial radio from 1974 to 2007. Most of that, believe it or not, was as either a reporter or the news director at progressive rock radio stations. There was a time when at least the socially conscious-minded management of those sorts of radio stations thought they must have a news department. They must give news to those people and who listened to rock music, and they were right. And I did that from 1974 until 1999. But when the gloves came off of ownership regulations and all the acquisitions began happening, quickly the first victims were news departments at those sorts of stations. And I moved to the AM side of the dial as first a news person and then the co-host of a political talk show for 10 years on AM radio. It was, how shall I put this, enlightening. It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was 4 hours of talk radio starting at 5 o'clock in the morning. But it taught me a lot about how to listen to people, how to hear people through their anger, how to talk to people rather than talk down to people or argue with people. When I look back on it, I always talk about it as my 10 years in radio hell. But when I really think about it, it really, really sharpened my sword in terms of relating with audiences and relating with people. And it was enlightening. But those sorts of stations started getting acquired, and this personnel was the first thing to go when all the acquisitions started happening. And I was a victim of that in 2007. And I had always been an avid public radio listener. All things considered, Morning Edition were a part of my day. Morning Edition was tougher because I did morning radio for at least 25, 27 years, something like that. My alarm went off at 2:30 in the morning for 27 years. I had always been a fan because in some of the time that I was working in commercial radios, during the times I worked at those progressive rock stations, we did longer form stories. Now, longer form for that was, if you know, 2 minutes or something like that. And we did some interesting things like a year-end wrap-up that we used to call the year in your ear. And those were 3-4 minute pieces that ran throughout the day on these stations. So I liked the long form, and we were much more into production qualities and the whole sonic tone of radio stories, exactly what National Public Radio was heading toward. And they started that way, and it's been refined and refined. And, so I made a play for a job at a small station at Northern Kentucky University, which is right across the river from where I was working in Cincinnati, and got the job. There were some concerns about somebody who had been in commercial radio for so long coming into public radio, but the transition was smooth because I had been doing public radio in my head my entire life, my entire career. I loved the way public radio embraces storytelling. That's literally what we do. Even when I was doing a newscast, commercial radio. And, you know, you're doing 5-6 stories in a 5-minute newscast, maybe 7 stories if you were lucky. You know, you were trying to tell a story, and radio writing is tight. It's the Hemingway version of journalism, especially in commercial radio. So I was always into the telling of stories. And when I got to this place and I did get the news director's job there, the staff embraced me. We had a great time. But we made a decision somewhere in there that we ought to try to make a move. It was mostly for economics, really. And it was a very small station with a small antenna. And it's no longer on the air, so it was the right move. It got sold by the university. We made the move, decided we wanted to go south. I listened to every public radio station south of Atlanta and in, say, Texas and those sorts of places, and picked out 2 out of all of them because they sounded like people. They kind of had that knowledge about how to present themselves as being a part of the whole rather than being supportive of one thing. A lot of the biggest problem in public radio and a lot of stations is they don't think they're a part of the NPR broadcast, and they totally are. They're the local representatives of the entire broadcast day. And so I picked out a couple of stations. They didn't have jobs. I sent them sound anyway in my resume, and I sent those. It was 5 degrees above zero, and there were 10 inches of snow on the ground, and I sent them at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the public radio station in Tampa, Florida, called me at 9 and said, we're about to post this job. And so we came down to Florida. I anchor All Things Considered here and did feature reporting for them and interviewing. And by the way, there's a whole other side to this, but and worked there for a couple of years, then became general manager of a community radio station, which was all volunteer on the air, and spent 4 years there. It was not what I wanted to be doing, and I had decided that almost 2 years in that me not being involved in a news department, it was like me without oxygen. And so I decided to change things up and start looking for a job back in the news business. And Aspen called, and that's why we're talking.
You know, you talked about stories and how storytelling drew you to public radio. What kinds of stories do you want to see us tell here at Aspen Public Radio?
Oh, boy. I will tell you this. I'm from a part of the country, northwest Ohio, where the only elevation is when they build an overpass or a highway. flat. I currently live in an area that is 42 feet above sea level. It's flat, flat, flat. So Aspen is in Colorado, and the Rockies and the Western Slope are 100% revelation to me. My wife, after the first day when we visited there on our own, we were coming out of a place. We were coming out of Willits and just turning onto 82 there. And she just went, wow. And I said, what? And she said, it's almost spiritual the way I feel when I look at what surrounds us. So I'm not going to tell you what kind of stories I'm going to tell because I don't know enough about the area other than how it bowled me over with, I don't want to use words like, well, I will use it, like with its majesty, with there's something about that place that makes you feel like you're back at the source somehow, even more than the ocean or the Gulf that I can see in the state of Florida. So I know this much. All stories involve people. It's like photojournalism. There is no photojournalism to me unless there are people in the picture, because journalism is not about policies and not about issues. It's about how those policies, how those issues, how this event has affected people. So I will come in with a huge emphasis, and I think this is already being done at Aspen Public Radio, but to make sure that, you know, our stories are grounded in the people involved in them, not necessarily the details. Facts, details set the scene. It's the people and how they're affected by it that make for a story, I think, that connects with an audience. That's certainly what makes a story connect with me.
Craig, I want to talk a little bit about where the world of public radio is going. What excites you when you think about the future of this medium, and what are you hoping to bring that might be a little bit new to our listeners?
Well, number one, as I've clearly stated, I've been in this business for a while. Public radio, from national public radio down to the local level of Aspen Public Radio, is radio's last great hope. It still understands the medium. It understands how the medium can affect people listening. National Public Radio does that for a national audience. Aspen Public Radio does that for the Roaring Fork Valley. It's a connector. I don't believe radio is going anywhere. 90-some percent of everybody in this country still listens to radio every week. They listen to it a lot in their cars. I'm excited to, you know, participate in making sure that when everybody has a digital dashboard, everybody in Roaring Fork Valley will have Aspen Public Radio ready to go on their digital dashboard. That's 20 years, 15 years down the line. I'm excited about social media and the additional platforms that that provides to expose what Aspen Public Radio is doing on the news side to as many people as possible. The feedback that can come through that, it excites me. There's another way to create a relationship with the listeners who listen to Aspen Public Radio for their entertainment, for their information, and, you know, for their connection to the community. On this level, this is where radio really lives. It's on that community level. And so I'm excited about, you know, digital platforms. And Aspen is such a unique place with so many, from the music festival to the ideas conferences and everything else that goes on there. I think that somehow down the line, Aspen Public Radio will be doing some work that will be listened to on a national level. There's just something about that place that is exciting because of its involvement with art and ideas. You know, I can't go anywhere and say I'm moving to when I say Aspen, Colorado, everybody knows Aspen, Colorado. But in my journalism friends and my friends in academia, they all know it for the ideas conferences. My daughter, who went to school as an opera singer, knows the music festival. There's a lot going on there that people in the Roaring Fork Valley, just this is how we live, this is what we do. But though what happens there, I think, has an interest on a national level. This is really in the embryonic stage in my head, but I just had huge impressions coming into my brain that there's stuff there that, you know, may attract, may be of interest to a national audience somewhere down the line. As a news person, my first thing is to that community. It's Aspen Public Radio. What does that community need from Aspen Public Radio that we can deliver in an entertaining, informative, and almost an artful way? Because public radio gives you the license to handle things, you know, with kind of the art of journalism in mind. But then after that, I think there's all kinds of other things. Radio is just, you can tell me radio's dead from now until doomsday. It's not. I'm big into podcasting. I've been doing a podcast nationally for 5 or 6 years. I'm going to be bringing that podcast, it's called Everyday Ethics, to Aspen Public Radio. It's podcasts are nothing more than radio on demand, and I'm very excited about the possibilities of doing that with both local and national angles involved.
Well, Craig Kopp, incoming managing editor here at Aspen Public Radio, we so look forward to you joining us on August 1st, and thank you so much for your time today.
Cannot wait to get there, and we're going to be there real soon.